Thanks for joining us at Crossroads Church. We hope you enjoy this week's sermon.
Well, today we're jumping into a brand new four-week sermon series titled Ever After. Everyone say Ever After. Not happily ever after. We're not talking about make-believe or fairy tales. We're talking about real life. There is no happily ever after. I don't care who you are. And if you're not yet married, let me save you some heartache. Marriage isn't a happily ever after. But here's some good news. You can have an ever after marriage. Raise your hand, married people, if this has been true at any point in your marriage. We said I do, but we act like we don't. We said I do on our wedding day, but day after day, we act like we don't. No matter where your marriage is this morning, it's never too late to build a stronger marriage with better communication and greater intimacy. And that's what we want to help you develop over the next 4 weeks. Stronger marriages, better communication, and greater intimacy. No matter where your marriage is today. And I know that there's marriages in here that are great. You love each other just like you did on day one. There's marriages in here that are on rocky ground, though. There's some marriages in here today that are on the verge of divorce. There's people in here that's been married for 30 years, 50 years. There's some that's been married for 3 weeks. We're all in different places in our marriage. As goes the marriage, so goes the church. We believe strong, healthy marriages build strong, healthy churches. But listen, we also believe strong, healthy singles build strong, healthy churches. Can I get an amen from our single? Hey, I'm not going to leave you out today. But over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about how to have an ever-after marriage. This series is for married people, happily married, not so happily married, madly married. Those who are hoping to be happily and madly married one day. And even for those who have failed at marriage a time or two. This series is for the married, single, divorced, and those who are hoping to be married, right? Single ladies. Bro, if you like it, put a ring on it. Just saying. Hey, the stage is set. We can arrange this. It's a small fee. I'll stand right here. One of our single ladies paid me a little bit to throw that in, so. No pressure, bro. But I hope you get the hint. If you're single, don't get up and leave. Don't skip church the next 3 weeks thinking this is irrelevant for me. I don't need this. Yes, you do. This isn't just for our married people. And we realize that everyone in this place isn't married today. We get it. We love our single peeps too. If you're single, raise your hand. But don't be looking around the room to see who's available. Okay, I guess you can. Go ahead and look around. You see anyone you like? Hey, I'm just trying to help you out. Jesus was single. So we know it's also very cool and very righteous to be single, right? But for most of us, the end result is marriage. In week two, we're going to be zoning in on our men. So get ready, men. Ladies, don't let your man pretend he's sick next week. You will want your man here for this service. Week three, we'll be zoning in on our ladies. All the married ladies, get your hands up. Come on, more of you should have got that. All the married ladies, all the married ladies. Get your hands up. Then we'll close out this series with Together Forever. Everyone say Together Forever. Over the next 4 weeks, let's answer this question. What makes marriage work? I said, what makes marriage work? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 21. The Bible says to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Let's pray. Father, we pray that the word that you give out today would touch and minister, encourage, inspire, motivate, and possibly even convict, God. Father, we pray that a word, this would be like a seed planted into our hearts and in our minds and into our lives that would grow into a harvest. Thank you for this time to break the bread of life together. And we pray that you would speak so loud and so clear that every person in this place would hear from the Father today. We honor you. In your name we pray. Everyone says, amen. Amen. I want to start with the most controversial thing the Bible has to say about marriage. In fact, it's the most controversial word dealing with marriage, the word submit. The Bible's whole theology is based on this word. God's whole plan for your marriage is based on this six-letter word, submit. Some people hate to hear it. Some cringe when they hear it. Others refuse to say it. But just so I can upset some of you, before I give you the true meaning of submit, everyone say submit. Submit means to yield one's rights for the sake of another. To submit literally means when you don't agree, when you're head to head, when you don't get your way, you voluntarily place yourself under another person's will. Which brings me to the title of today's sermon, You First. Everyone say, You First. You First means when you and I don't agree. When the vote is split, when we're head to head, I choose to put you first. And that's what submitting looks like in a marriage. It's simple. You first. You first. If we could just get that down. You first. According to the Bible, a Christian marriage should be two people whose only competition is to put each other first most of the time. And if we could get that down, we'd probably never fight, never fuss, never argue, never break up, never walk away, never want a divorce, never want to bang our head on the wall. And you know what I'm talking about, sir. And never want to put our fist through the wall, like one of the brilliant husbands that's sitting in our service today has done before. Right, so-and-so. You thought I was going to call him out, but he's sitting here. I'm not going to call you out. You know. See, when a husband or a wife strives to say, you first, whatever you want there, it's your choice, your pick. You first, babe. The only argument of two selfless people is you first. But the argument of two selfish people is me first. Me, 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 me. It's all about me, right? Come on, how many people do you know that says me first in everything and every way? The world revolves around me. Come on, you've got that crazy family member. And if you're a parent to a teenager, it's the teenager, right? It's those few years that they have to learn the cold, hard truth. Life isn't always about me. See, the Bible says, and I teach this to my kids all the time, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. So So I always put myself last so that I can be first, really, right? Strategic. Everyone turn to your neighbor and say, "You first, neighbor." Now turn back, neighbor, and say, "No, you first." Now the first one, go ahead and go back and say, "No, you first." We could do this all day long. But you get the principle, right? This is submission. This is submitting your desires, your will, to another person's will. Not always easy, though, is it? But it's a principle. We talked just a couple weeks ago, the law of reciprocity. What does that mean? It's a big word. Whatever you give will come back to you in a greater measure. If you give love, love's going to come back to you. If you give honor, honor's going to come back to you. If you give respect, respect's going to come back to you. But if you give a bad attitude, same. Law of reciprocity, it comes back to you in a greater measure. So whatever we're giving is coming back to you. What are we giving our spouse? Think about it. Don't be elbowing him. What is she giving you? The most offensive or controversial word or passage in the Bible is really what we all long for. A relationship built on unconditional love and selflessness. If we could all get that down, if we could all truly grasp this concept of submission, you first, it would change our lives. It would change every relationship in your life to include your marriage. But it wouldn't stop there. It affects future generations because the wife that mom is will be the wife that little Susie is. Or let's make this personal. It'll be the wife that Danica is. Or the husband that dad is will be the husband that little JoJo will be one day. Based on what I model before him. Submission is what makes marriage work. I said submission is what makes marriage work. But submission isn't one-sided. Submission is mutual. Submission doesn't manipulate. Submission doesn't withhold until you get your way, ladies. Right? Hey, I'm just trying to be real. Submission is what makes marriage work, but not submission according to the world. Not submission according to a selfish, arrogant, egotistical husband that always says, "Me, me, me. Me first." No, submission according to God's holy word, Ephesians 5:21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And that's what makes marriage work. Let's go to verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. This is a very, 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 and I'm going to say that again, very familiar verse to all of our ladies. Right, ladies? You've heard it over and over. If you've been in church, you've heard it all your life. Come on. Wives, submit. Like a broken record, right? Men or husbands quote it over and over and over and over like a broken record. Men who don't know any other verse in the Bible know this one very well. Wives, submit to me. Ladies, let me speak to you directly for just a few moments. Here's the challenge. Wives, submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord. How many of you ladies, without raising your hands, would say your husband looks like Christ? How many of you ladies have ever confused your husband with Christ? See, submitting to a man who doesn't look like, walk like, or talk like Christ is difficult. It's an intense calling, ladies, right? And here again, a lot of misunderstanding has come from this verse. In fact, a lot of abuse has occurred in the name of this verse. So let's talk about what it means and what it doesn't mean. The Bible doesn't imply, ladies, for you to submit because you're weak or inferior. Submit doesn't mean that it's okay for you to be hit or abused in any way. It doesn't mean for you to be a doormat or you're less of a person than your husband. To submit doesn't mean to submit in obedience. It means to submit in love. Okay, point number one. To submit is to step back in love. What does that mean? It means to yield in love. It means to surrender in love. It means to step back in love. See, submission is a sign of strength, ladies. It takes incredible character. It takes an incredible woman who is strong in her faith, heart, soul, mind, and body to say you first to an imperfect man. To love and respect an imperfect man as she would Christ. Seems impossible, but it's not. Through Christ, we can do all things. But notice, lady, that it says, as you do it to the Lord. So you're not really doing it for Him. Who are you doing it for? For the Lord. And guys, notice it says, as she does unto the Lord. If we'll treat her like the Lord treats her, if we'll love her, respect her, honor her, value her, and put her first, she will in essence treat us, love us, honor us, respect us, value us, put us first in everything. Because we reap what we sow. And what we give is what comes back. See, Paul was saying half the story of marriage is wives submitting to their husbands, but the other half of the story is husbands submitting to their wives. And I know that goes against everything you've ever heard in church, but especially you use it, you guys that grew up in the hardcore Pentecostal, in your face, I'm the man and I'm the head, and you bow. Right? Come on, you know you've been in a church like that. I grew up in a church like that. How many have heard this before? Marriage is like a box of chocolates. Never know what you're going to get, right? Let's extract that. Take that out. Marriage, whoa, getting scared. It's like a pair of scissors. Never heard this one before. Two parts that make a whole. Just like marriage. In order for these scissors to do what they were created to do, they have to come together. They have to work together to accomplish what they were set out to do. But if they never work together, they're useless. Only thing I can do with it is stab you, Becky. But yet that's what happens in a lot of marriages, right? When we don't work together, we're like a dagger in the heart, in the back. We hurt. But if we just come together in love, perfect harmony, unison. That's what makes marriage work. Let's go to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Point number two, a husband is to take the lead. The lead in submitting. That just hurts some of your pride. Some of you egotistical guys, right? That's blasphemy. What is that pastor preaching? Never heard that before. You never read your Bible, sir. See, Paul didn't say, love your wife if she submits to you. No, Paul said, love your wife. What? As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. See, Christ loved us when we were unlovable. Christ gave himself up for us even though we didn't deserve it. Never will deserve it. It's the same thing, guys. We have to love our spouse even when they're unlovable. We have to choose to say, you first, dear, even when they don't deserve it. I do it all the time. No, she does it all the time. But it reminds me of one of my dumbest thoughts as a husband. And I'm sure your husband never had a dumb thought before, right, ladies? One night in the middle, years ago, in the middle of one of our heated arguments, it had to be years ago because we are a perfect couple, we're perfect people, and we never fight. But in the middle of this argument, I dismissed myself because obviously she wasn't seeing my side. It was just like, I walked into our bedroom, and I sat down on the bed, and I read the scripture on our wall. Love is patient, love is kind, love never fails. 1 Corinthians 13. This scripture is on her side of the room. See, I strategically put it there. So that every night when she goes to bed, she has to read. Love is patient, love is kind, love never fails. Every morning when she wakes up, she has to read. It's like a subliminal message. See, I'm smart, guys. You got to know how to work it. No, really, what it is me being the man that I am. I need her patience. I need her kindness. Right, guys? As I sit there, a thought hit me. If only Tammy would do that. If only Tammy would be kind. If only she would be patient. If only she would never fail me. But then in that moment, I was reminded that as her husband, it's not my job to fix her. It's not my job to tell her how she should treat me. It's not my job to point out all her flaws because we all know she doesn't have any. I had to make up. It's not my job to tell her to put me first. It's not my job, husbands, to quote Ephesians 5:22 over and over and over and over again in her face, girl, submit to me. No. That's not your job. My only job as her husband is to submit to her in love and to say, you first, out of reverence for Christ and out of my love for her. That's what makes marriage work, guys. You'll never want to walk away. You'll never get a divorce if you'll put these principles into practice in your marriage. Same thing with you, ladies. Put it into practice. In order for a marriage to work, we have to work. Doesn't come easy. It takes work. And sometimes it's hard. Hard work. Just as Christ gave up everything to put us first, our lives above His own, our comfort above His own. Husbands, this is your only job as her husband. I choose to put you first. I give up what I want. I give up what I prefer. Even this goes as far as even giving up watching the game so that she can watch Hallmark. Come on, every lady in this place should be amening right like crazy right now. But of course, Super Bowl Sunday is the only exception, right, guys? I give up what I choose. Because let's be honest, I would never, ever, 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 ever choose to watch Hallmark over a game. Just saying. But this time and every time, I choose to put you first. I choose to love you unconditionally. It could be something that small or something greater. Choose to put your spouse first. When Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Every wife and every husband has to become very familiar and comfortable with this statement. Not my will, but thine be done. That's not always easy, is it? It's difficult. It's hard to put your desires and your wants and your feelings under another person's. But that's marriage. And that's what makes marriage work. Same as a relationship. Submitting to the other person's will. Their wants, their desires. It was hard for Jesus. For Jesus, it meant giving up His life on the cross, right? It's the same basic concept for us. Giving up our life for another person. Giving up my desires, giving up my will to make the other person happy. It was so hard for Jesus that the Bible said His sweat became like drops of blood. Maybe it's that hard for you today. Maybe even thinking about it, you're sweating bullets. Well, I just can't do that. Pastor, it's too much. Me first. But my response to you is, yes, you can. Because Philippians 4:13 says you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. And you're not just doing it for him or for her, you're doing it for him above. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the great love chapter. Love is patient, and I'm going to teach more on this next week, guys. Love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. Hello. It keeps no... It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Point number three. Love doesn't make a list of wrongs. It makes a list of rights. Maybe I need to read that again. Love doesn't make a list of wrongs. It makes a list of rights. Maybe you're in a relationship today and none of the qualities that are listed in 1 Corinthians 13 are on display whatsoever. Maybe it's the complete opposite in your relationship. Maybe your spouse is selfish instead of selfless. Maybe they've never, ever, 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 ever said you first. But they always, 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 always say me first. I want to close with a story. There was a woman who was in a very troubled marriage. Her and her husband would always fight. And instead of putting her first, he demanded that she put him first. He demanded that she give, give, and give, and give, and give, and never get anything back in return. He was determined to fix this woman. Right, guys? One night, in one of their most heated arguments, possibly like the one you had last night, he stormed out of the room. A few minutes later, he came back with a pen and a notebook. He says, since you can't remember all the things that you need to fix, I'm going to make a list for you. And all the ladies say, oh, no, he didn't. And right there in front of her, he began to write this list out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and on and on and on. And when he finished the list, he just handed it out to her. She didn't read it. She was so angry, she crumbled it up, opened her dresser drawer, slung it in, slammed the drawer shut. Well, needless to say, this marriage ended in a divorce. Years later, she met a different man. A man completely opposite from the first man. A man who believed in Ephesians chapter 5, but not just verse 22. The whole chapter. A man who stood on the principle of you first, and he put her first in everything. They fell in love. They got married. Within time, he was on a business trip one weekend. She was at home all alone. She opened up the dresser drawer, and there in the back was the list. She pulled out the list to read it for the first time, years and years later. When she read the list, she began to cry. And it hit her. Everything that's on this list, I am voluntarily doing already for my husband, my new husband. But not because he demands it of me. Not because he yells or screams at me. But he chose to put me first with no strings attached. So therefore, she put him first in everything. Submission is what makes marriage work. But here again, submission isn't one-sided. It's mutual. It's not one side giving, giving, and giving. And one side taking, taking, and taking. But it's a give-take relationship. Marriage takes work. Our prayer and our desire is that we would build strong, healthy marriages within this church. That we would turn marriages around, maybe that are on the verge of a divorce or separation or a breakup. See, the Bible says What God joined together, let no man separate. And we believe that no matter how difficult your marriage has become, how rocky, that somehow in some way God can help you restore it. Now keep in mind, we're not talking about abusive relationships or marriages. Of course, there's always forgiveness, but if you're in harm's danger, you get out of there. You run. And you come to me, and we'll handle him. We have no problem handling abusive men around here. Seriously, you're not going to see a 1-800 hotline. You just simply let us know. We'll take care of business. But there's hope wherever your marriage is today. Just a little bit of faith, trust, application. We can turn things around. So every head bowed, every eye closed. Where are you today? How many of you would simply say, Pastor, my marriage is on the rocks. I'm in a relationship and we're in a very difficult place. We're on the verge of a divorce. We're just roommates living in a house. No communication, no intimacy whatsoever. I'm going to ask you by boldness to raise your hand, and we're not here to judge you. We're here to pray for you, to surround you, and to lead you to restoration. And I'm not going to ask you to come forward. No one else is going to know other than us on the stage today. And we'll take just a few moments to pray with you. So right now, anyone in this place would say, that's me. That's us. I got you. Anyone else? I got you. I got you. Okay. There are several hands that were raised. So I'm going to ask you, each and every one of you, prayer warriors, just to begin to pray. And for those that raised their hand, I'm going to encourage you to find someone in this place, if it's just one person, and just share your heart, share what's going on, so that you can have someone standing with you, and so that you're not walking through this alone. It's not a gossip session. It's not, oh, my husband sucks and all this. No. This is to get help, guidance, prayer support, love support, and someone to stand with you and believe in restoration. Now, if it's beyond restoring, we can still stand with you, love you, and get you through this. So wherever it is, before you leave this place today, tell someone that you can confide in. And if they're bold enough to tell you, this is out of confidentiality, and you just be their support and their love and their anchor through this difficult storm. So every prayer warrior, let's just take a moment to pray for these marriages, relationships, husbands and wives that raised their hand. Father, you see the hands that was raised. God, you see the marriages that are in trouble. Those that are on rocky ground, God, those that are butting heads. Lord God, maybe there's hate, maybe there's anger, maybe there's hurt, maybe there's unforgiveness. Maybe it was because of something said or something done. God, I pray somehow in some way that you would intervene. God, right here, right now, we release this marriage, this relationship to you, and ask you to do what only you can do, God. God, we put our faith in you. We trust in you. We know that you're a very present help in our times of need, according to your word, Psalms. God, I pray that you would surround these men and women with people that would love on them, that would encourage them. God, that would fill them full of your word. Pray over them daily. God, I pray from this service alone that we would see 4, 5, 6, 7, 10 marriages restored because of principle. God, I pray for all hurt to be healed, all brokenness to be restored. God, I pray that it would be just like putting a puzzle back together, that we would see it be peace, piece by piece, restored. God, we know that through brokenness, just like a bone, when it's broke, when it heals, it's stronger than it was ever before. We pray for marriages to be stronger than they've ever been before. God, I pray for that man or that woman that's waiting, that's been waiting patiently for that love. God, that you would bring that into their life, because your word says you give us the desires of our heart and you put those desires there, God. You created this, God. Illustrate it. We thank you. We honor you. Everyone says, amen.